I think there are a lot of people, including Jews, who don't know what the Jewish Federation is all about. So why don't you take a minute and tell us about what is the Federation that you became the executive director of?
The Jewish Federation is actually a model for United Way. There were Jewish federations before there were United Ways. And in every community where immigrants came in, there was a place for them to come. And there was a Hebrew free loan where through a federation, usually they would come and be able to borrow some money to start a business or just get started in this new world. Federations are a combination, to me, of the Community Service Council and the United Way. And that's how I used to explain it. News people would come to want a story, and they didn't know anything about being Jewish, and so I had to tell them. The United Way raises money for agencies. Jewish Federation raises money both for local Jewish organizations, for national organizations, Jewish defense organizations like Defense League, ADL, other Jewish organizations that work with the poor, the Jewish Organization for the Blind, Hayas, the organization that brought most of our families, grandparents, into this country, and overseas for the State of Israel especially, because in 48, brand new state, needed our help. No one was there to help. And through the federations, we were able to raise money and to do a variety of things to get people involved in knowing what this new country was all about. We were sending money to Europe. All of a sudden, those people, we were able to work with them. Some of them that got to Israel. We tried our best to get all of the people out of the Holocaust and out of the range of being captured by the Nazis to go either here or to Israel. It didn't happen. But at least we now have a country. Any Jewish person. There's been some interesting books lately of something that could happen in the United States. Some president could come along and decide that Jews are not his favorite people, and maybe the Nazis were right in what they did. And we know today we have a place to go. We have a place to escape to. We have a country. In those days, people tried to come to America, tried to come to South America. Most of them were turned away, didn't have a place to go. So we were very supportive of Israel. We raised money. United Way learned how to raise money that way. We also helped people from giving money to every little agency that came to their door. There's a tradition in Judaism of men that traveled from Jewish institutions and came into your neighborhood, come into your city, all over the country, and they would go door to door into the synagogues to raise money for orphan asylums in many places. Thank God we don't have those orphan asylums today. Jewish Family and Children's Service that we work with and helps us a lot was one of those Jewish orphanages, by the way. So anyway, people said, let's start this federation. People can give one gift, and then the federation will distribute it to those agencies that prove worthy. United Way did the same thing.
I'd like you to make it even more personal in terms of our community. I think that there's, as you well know, a stereotype that all Jews are middle class or above. All Jews are successful. You know, because you're on the front line, but I'd like you to share a little bit what it means to have a social service fund, which you for years have been the one who administers. Give us a little slice of what that looks like in Tulsa's community.
Before I came to work for the Federation, I was on the board. I was social welfare chairman, as you know. They gave me a checkbook. This is the old days. Because my office was downtown at Community Service Council, I was near the bus station. In those days, people with problems would come to Tulsa on a bus. Today, they come by car, by airplane, whatever. But those days, by bus. Someone would call, and they didn't have any money. They were called transients in those days. We call them homeless today. I would have the checkbook so I could write $10 to them, get them a place to stay for the night, put many people up at the YMCA in Tulsa, although many Jewish people in those days were a little afraid of going into a Christian organization, even though that Salvation Army would help them have a place to stay. They were suspicious that there would be some proselytizing going on, and there usually was. So for their night stay or food or whatever, they have to pay for it by praying the way they didn't want to pray. So we would find the places to stay where they felt comfortable. We also had people in the community that were hidden from us, since we don't live in Tulsa in high-rise buildings where we know everybody. My first date in the Bronx, everybody in that building knew the girl I was dating, what time I brought her home, how long I was between going downstairs to drop her off at her room and come down to the end. And they'd let you know about it. Here, we don't know everybody. We don't live in a ghetto. I make a demarcation point. When American Airlines brought people to Tulsa, a middle class came to Tulsa that was Jewish, that wasn't here as much from the oil business. Why would a Jew come to Tulsa in those days when there weren't a lot of Jewish people here? There wasn't necessarily jobs for them if they didn't speak English. Many people I put to work in Henry Zarrow's yard, working in the pipe yard, because there's no place else they could work. But there were people that were hidden. And so that's what I worked on for a long time, finding those people, giving them some assistance, getting them on their feet, and have them feel comfortable to come in somewhere. Today we contract with Family Children's Service, and anybody in our community is able to have a number of sessions of counseling available to them through the Federation, working with the synagogues, temple and synagogue. So there's nobody we shouldn't be able to help. Once the middle class came in more, then we began to see other problems. People know it today with the recession. You can be in good shape with a job, and a very good job, and tomorrow you don't have a job, and you moved your family out to Oklahoma and so forth. So that's the kind of work we do also. If someone's in a hospital, needs help, a variety of kinds of situations that we work with people quietly through the Federation and through the synagogues. Those people that I see in synagogue on holidays that I've helped through that system, we just wave like that, because those were problems that they don't want to have again. Or in the days of drugs, I'd get a call and say, I found a packet in my son's closet. What do I do? You used to work with Helpline and all of that. I didn't know any more what to do for them, but I would meet with them. Mainly was working with the parents. For Educational Development Corporation here in town, I wrote an audio system. It was before video systems, called The Choice Is Yours. It was all I knew about drugs, but that would take 2 pages. In those days, I didn't do nothing. But I did a lot of reading. I did a lot of visiting with the institutions that were working on it. It was new anyway. And then we went out, met with young people, college people, and interviewed them. So this audio tape was interspersed with actual experiences, kids talking about drugs. We did it on all the varied drugs. We came down on marijuana like you'd never believe. You know, as the hardest drug out there. We learned a lot since then, but it was what was available in those days. And it was the first one written. The Navy bought it and used it. All their recruits had to go through this training period, and they would use these tapes and then talk about it afterwards, I guess, in groups.
One of the things that I so admire about David Bernstein is he is one who doesn't talk the talk, but who walks the walk, who exemplifies in his own life